I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome back for another live session here on Jefferson Public Radio. I am joined in the studio by the Devil Makes Three. Pete Bernhard, Cooper McBean, Lucia Torino. Welcome to Jefferson Public Radio, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you guys are interestingly all originally from Vermont, correct?
Correct.
In a town that sounds so perfectly suited to American string band music, Brattleboro, Vermont.
Yes.
That is such a rugged town name for the kind of music you make. But that's what makes it all the more ironic that the band is based in Santa Cruz.
Well, I mean, we're not really based in Santa Cruz anymore, but...
Sorry to burst the bubble.
Yeah, where are you now?
Well, we're not really based anywhere. Me and Lucia live in Vermont again.
Back in Brattleboro.
Really?
Getting rugged.
Back to the hometown.
Extremely rugged in Brattleboro. And we live actually nearby there, and Cooper lives in Austin, Texas. So we live here. In the Jefferson Public Radio Station.
Nice. And in vehicles, probably.
Yes, and in vehicles.
In your ears.
And in your ears.
Pete, you and Cooper knew each other all the way back into middle school, if I understand, right?
Eighth grade is where we met, I think. Right?
Seventh, I think.
Seventh grade. Yeah, it was a long time ago now.
And was music part of those years of your lives?
I was playing.
Yeah, it was. I think... our friend introduced us and said, "Hey, this is Pete. He likes Rage Against the Machine too,"
which she thought was really lame because she was into real punk bands.
Yeah.
And when you left Vermont, you ended up what, in Olympia, Washington?
Yeah, Cooper went out there first, and I was supposed to go out there and join him, but I didn't ever go. I eventually went, but I ended up taking a detour and going to Nashville to live with my brother for a while. Then after I left Nashville, I went to Olympia. Both me and Cooper left pretty soon after that and went down south to Santa Cruz.
That's
where you come in.
That's yes. Where I come in. Well, I mean, to be fair, I did know them in high school, but we were not playing music together. We were more acquaintances.
Like literally same high school, or did you just...
No, we all three went to different high schools, but we knew each other. I went to high school with good friends of theirs, so it's not like they just... happened to run into me and be like, "Wow, you're randomly from our hometown." We already knew each other, so they wanted to get away from the dreary winters of the Pacific Northwest, and they came down to sunny California, and I weaseled my way into the band.
And is it true at the time you didn't know how to play bass?
I didn't know how to do anything. Yeah.
How did that plan come to be in your head that you would join a band not knowing?
I have no idea. I had always wanted to learn how to play upright bass, and I liked... these guys were friends of mine, and they were complaining that they needed a bass player, and I somehow convinced them that I was the perfect choice.
She sweet talked us, man.
I bribed them. I paid them a lot of money. I'm still paying. Yeah,
our other bassist was not showing up to practice, so it seemed like, you know, it was perfect fit.
The Devil Makes Three are live in the JPR studios. Their newest album is called I'm a Stranger Here. Before we hear some music, why do you guys call yourselves Devil Makes Three?
We have no idea.
Someone told us to. So
someone
we said
told
okay.
us to, and we said okay. I'd like to say it was like our manager, but it was 12 years ago, and we didn't have a manager. We like barely had a car. But we had a friend who suggested it as a band name, and we all liked it. So,
what are you going to play first?
We're going to play a song called "Spin Like a Top." It's off our new record. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
When I was a rover, met a four-leaf clover, as Irish as the day was long. Thought she'd give it to me, maybe now she's married with a baby. I've been dodging bullets all along. Oh man, we were creeping, never lost no sleep, and I would cut catnip into the weed. Nobody was the wiser, but they could have been hiring and meant more money for me. Here's tonight, getting caught. Well, doctor, it's only grace. Spinning like a top, running like a villain, and the years are going by like days. The years are going by like days. Days. The years are going by like days. School bus, I got on it, I was nearly catatonic and couldn't speak a goddamn word. Homeroom class, forger hall pass, and we would get higher than the birds. Well, my foolish nature chased for the paper, I would deal in the broad daylight. 18 years old, head full of psilocybin and howling at the moon all night. Here's tonight, getting caught. Well, doctor, it's only a grace. Spinning like a top, running like a villain, and the years are going by like days. The years are going by like days. Days. coming of that morning light. Ducking and dodging and diving for that rent. If it couldn't be broken, we said it could be bent. Washing dishes, stealing kisses, making my deals on the side. She said, are you ready, honey? Cause we got gas money and we're going on a real long ride. Ended up lying like a rug, prescription drugs, old guitars, new girlfriends. Everybody shunned me, I just thought that it was funny and I'd do it all over again. Used to never getting caught. Well, doctor, it's only a grace. Spin like a top, run like a villain, and the years are going by like days. Spin like a top, run like a villain, and the years are going by like days. The years are going by like days. Days. The years are going by like days.
I read an interview that you guys did where you were listing off some of the artists that were regularly folks that you listened to, and it was things like Leo Kottke, Hank Williams, Bessie Smith, Count Basie, Dizzy Gillespie, The Byrds, and I read that big long list and thought, yeah, that kind of covers it.
Right.
When trying to come up with a description for the kind of music you guys make, there are an awful lot of people that stumble over themselves using blues and folk and whatever. Is there anything that has ever resonated with you, or is it just American music?
I like that. American music sounds good. You know, it's just a sort of bunch of stuff that we love mixed together.
Hodgepodge.
Yes.
Is there anything that has ever stood out over the years that somebody has tried to say to describe your music that just floored you in one way or the other?
No, not really.
No, it's the hardest question to answer.
Yeah, it's hard for any band, but I think for us it's especially hard. And we've heard, you know, every kind of description, but I'm not a real big believer in genres of music necessarily. I think that it's just sort of a way to explain it to each other. But it generally speaking, doesn't really matter. If you like it, then it's good. And if you don't, then it's not.
Where do you end up usually finding yourselves billed? At rock clubs or at rock festivals or at string music and
we
bluegrass things?
We play all over the map. Yeah, we did, you know, we were at Pickathon, but we've done some total rock festivals. We've done like garage rock festivals. We've done, we mostly play rock clubs, but we've played totally seated theaters as well. You know, we've played acoustic shows. There really is no specific show that we play.
We can do it all.
We can do it all.
Yeah. A lot of your songs have a lot of drive to them, despite not having a drummer in the band. Is that part of that appeal to be playing rock clubs where people are generally standing and therefore dancing?
Yeah.
A lot of the idea early on was to try and get people up off their feet. And, you know, despite the fact that we didn't have a drummer, despite the fact that we were playing acoustic guitars, it's like this can still be party music. Like it used to be, you know.
And you guys, Pete, you and Cooper both switch off a little bit between guitar and banjo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not playing a whole lot of banjo this tour, but yeah, sometimes I play the tenor banjo. Cooper plays tenor, five string, and guitar.
You guys have been at this now for a long time. I'll talk a little bit about as you guys transition now into your second decade as a band here in a few minutes, but this genreless genre that we're kind of talking about, string band music, bluegrass, blues, folk, it seems in recent years to have gotten really crowded with a lot of bands now out there. I mean, some of them Mumford and Avett Brothers and things. Is there a halo effect at all that you guys have seen as a band from the overwhelming popularity and resurgence of this kind of acoustic-based music?
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's been really good. I mean, it's been really great for us, you know. When we first started our band, no one really even took us seriously as a band. It was like, oh, you don't have a drummer, so why don't you play in between, you know, these two rock bands while they're setting up? And now, you know, it's considered pretty normal.
If you don't have a banjo, you're not hip.
Yeah, really. Now it's like we were like the weirdest band ever, you know, 12 years ago, and now it's like run of the mill.
But now everybody's got one of those kickbox things.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
That's true. Yeah,
you guys have done a little bit of augmentation of the three of you on recordings where you've added a couple of guest musicians.
Yeah.
Is that ever something that you consider a permanent or semi-permanent expansion to the trio? I mean, you guys have been together for such a long time now.
Yeah, I don't think so. We like to have people come sit in with us, but as far as like permanent members of the band, I mean, I think it's a miracle that we've survived as long as we have. And
there's only so many personalities allowed in it.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us have gotten along for 12 years. It's like we're not adding anybody to the band permanently. I think we'll probably have people come out with us on tour, sit in with us on records, but I don't envision adding anyone.
Can we hear some more music?
Absolutely.
Sure thing.
What do you want to do next?
We're going to play an older song for you. This song's called Graveyard.
I want to tell you a story. Ain't got no characters in it but me. I want to sing you a sad song. Most of it I don't expect you to believe. Starts off just a whiskey and wine on some miles of travel and some real good times. But it ends in a dark corridor where there ain't no windows and there ain't no doors. Yeah, that's me. Drinking off that bottle and drifting out to sea. Yeah, that's me. Sitting there staring and shaking like a leaf. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams. I wanna take you to a shipwreck, a thousand miles underneath the Black Sea. Looks like everybody's sleeping. Look close, they are dead indeed. I wanna lead you to an armchair, deep back in the files of my mind. I wanna sit you in a candle's light where I've been spending all of my time. Yeah, that's me. Drinking off that bottle, drifting out to sea. Yeah, that's me. Sitting there staring and shaking like a leaf. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams.
It's The Devil Makes Three live on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest album is called I'm a Stranger Here. That one out on New West Records. Well, let's talk a little bit, you guys, about the new album, I'm a Stranger Here, which at this point actually is not brand new anymore. It's been out for quite a few months.
Yeah.
You guys worked and connected with Buddy Miller on this thing.
We did, and it was a really great experience to do so.
Was he a guy that was on your target list to work with, or did it just come about through happenstance?
We had compiled quite a list when we were looking for producers, and he was near the top of the list, but we didn't know if we could get him because he's incredibly busy. You know, he tours with his own band. He's got a lot of musical projects. He has a radio show of his own, actually. So we didn't know if we could kind of squeeze in there, and it turned out we could. So we were all pretty happy.
What were you looking for?
Well, you mean in working with Buddy?
Or just looking for a new producer?
At first, we really didn't know. But I think in sort of narrowing it down and meeting with a lot of people, we got to see Buddy play a lot live, which was really fun. Listened to a lot of his records. I met up with him and got to talk to him about how he wanted to record the record. And I think I felt like he was somebody who really had the same musical tastes as us.
Early on, you guys had done some of that work yourselves, right? And released your own albums.
All of it. Yeah.
So what does bringing in an outside producer allow you guys to do or free you up to focus on?
I think it frees us up to relax and just play music.
Just concentrate on playing.
Right, which is important.
If you didn't do something that was good enough, buddy would tell you. And then you do it again or change it. And it was just great to have that sort of editing.
It's kind of interesting that you would say that because, like you said, Cooper, if you played something and he didn't like it, he'd tell you. Mm-hmm. Is there a dynamic in the band where there are kid gloves sometimes? Like if somebody else in the band does something and maybe you think it should be done different, do you hold off on saying that?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Not really, but it's just that self-producing is annoying when you're trying to make a record. It's like, you know, me talking to Lucia or her talking to me about whether something was right, it just takes the focus away from the music and into us discussing this stuff, which is just really, you don't want to be doing that. It's like, you should just be playing and recording and trying to be creative, I think, and we really enjoyed that. It was like, self-producing means that you're just wearing so many hats. I mean, sometimes you're even like, trying to engineer, like a lot of times Cooper's ended up like engineering parts of our records while we were tracking in our house or something like that. And some people love that, but to me, it just kind of distracted from making a good record, I think.
Yeah.
When we were working with Buddy, I mean, when he wasn't actually playing with us, because we did everything live, he'd be in the control room. And so we'd just do a few takes and we could just not even think about it. Just like, we just keep going until he said, stop. You know, he's like, all right, you've got it, or, you know, like, we have a lot of things that are good in here and we can pick and choose. But we never had to like do it and then be like, was that good? I don't know, because like we're all like paying so attention to what we're doing that then you don't know what the other people are doing, and then, you know, you're like, I made a mistake, but you have no idea in the context if it's glaring or if it's like sympathetic or if anyone even noticed. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's so easy to focus on all these little nitpicky details that. So Buddy would just be like, that was it. It's great. And I'd be like, I made a mistake. And he's like, well, we can try and fix it. He's like, but I didn't even hear it, so I think it's fine. And like,
Well, in addition to the skills that he brings as being an incredible musician and producer, you have to have also benefited from his amazing connections, right? I mean, on 40 Days, you have the Preservation Hall Jazz Band playing with you.
Yeah, that was great. That was all Buddy. That was all Buddy's doing to get them on there. He's played with them a couple of times. And also the people who we had on the record were mostly people from Buddy's band.
That's not too shabby, huh?
No, it was great. Yeah, everybody we worked with was really great. And
when he comes to you with an idea like, hey, let's add Preservation Hall on this particular tune, was that part that they performed even something that you guys had considered?
Well, me and Buddy had talked about it, but it was kind of like a pipe dream, you know, like maybe Preservation Hall would be cool to have on that. You know, I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I mean, we just thought that'd be great. But I mean, actually having it happen, we didn't even know if it was possible with their schedule and whatnot. Yeah. But he made it happen. So,
well, I mentioned earlier that you guys are now 12 or 13 years into being a band.
About 12, I think.
So other than
a third of my life, I figured that out last night.
Wow.
It's like a third of my life I've been doing this.
So other than simply being older, what's changed? What's considerably different for you guys now as you enter your second decade of playing together?
We're prettier.
We do get more and more attractive with every passing year, so that's always a plus.
Cooper's beard changes. From tour to tour.
Yeah.
My chin yo-yo.
There was no beard this last summer.
There was no beard.
There was no chin.
There was chin.
I think we're a lot better musicians.
Yeah,
we're probably the best now that we've ever been, and we're also just way more relaxed.
Especially Lucia, right? Considering
I didn't know how to do anything.
Yeah, it's been a steady.
You have a bass player now. Congratulations!
Yeah, it's been a steady improvement since day one. Yeah, we're all playing a lot better, I think, and a lot more relaxed about it.
We're better at touring.
Much better at touring. I think we're probably doing the best now that we've ever done.
And speaking of touring, before we went live today, you were talking about how your date book is literally scheduled out all the way through the summer and all the way into maybe the beginning of next year already?
Yeah, we're actually
starting
looking
at
next
year. Yeah, we're starting to think about it. I mean, nothing's confirmed yet, but that's how the booking agent works. This is not us. This is the booking agent.
But, I mean, you can't complain about it either.
No, we have work. Work is good. We like work.
Well, it's interesting that you're booked that far out because, you know, Pete, you released a solo album, and Cooper, you've got a band. How do you have time for side projects?
We don't. It's a complete, it's not, it does, there's no time for it. It's like a afterthought.
I haven't played with my band in almost 2 years.
I bet they miss you.
I miss them.
Lucia, you knit?
I milk goats. I have goats at home, and I garden, and I cook a lot. Those are my side projects. I spend a lot of time hiding on my hill in Vermont.
It would seem a lot of people in Vermont have goats.
Yes.
Is that, some sort of animal. Is that the thing to do?
It's the middle of nowhere. What else are you going to do?
Not just goats, but people have a lot of animals.
Yeah, there's chickens or, I know a lot of people who raise some sort of animals.
The Devil Makes Three are live here in the JPR studios. Their newest album, their fourth studio album, is called I'm a Stranger Here, produced by Buddy Miller. We have time for one more. What do you want to play to go out?
We're going to play another one off our new record. The song is called Hallelujah. Ready?
I am.
Nothing is wrong here, so I'm climbing up the walls, trying to kill the silence with gun blasts and alcohol. I've been laughing, I've been crying, I've been living, I've been dying. They say tell the truth, they're lying. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Guess it's praise the Lord and that's ammunition too. They say Jesus is coming, he must be walking, he sure ain't running, who can blame him? Look how we done him. Hallelujah. What will it take to have this place on bended knee? You run to the forest, you can bet I'll burn the trees. Man, I will poison the water, cause it's only getting harder. And we came for sons and daughters. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, it's praise the Lord and best ammunition too. They say Jesus is coming, he must be walking, he sure ain't running. Who could blame him? Look how we done him. Hallelujah. Tribulations, that's just bread and wine. Getting my hands dirty, that's not take off the shine. On this farm to get your fillings, gotta be a lot of killing. So I'm ready and I'm willing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Guess it's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition too. They say Jesus is coming, he must be walking, he sure ain't running. Who can blame him? Look how we done him. Hallelujah. If you're waiting on salvation, you don't need candles and libation. Train ain't coming in the station. Hallelujah. Yeah, they say Jesus is coming. He must be walking. He sure ain't running. Who can blame him? Look how we done him. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
It's The Devil Makes Three, live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album, produced by Buddy Miller, is called I'm a Stranger Here. Pete, Cooper, Lucia, thanks so much for dropping by and visiting with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.